Hey guys, welcome back to Unpopular, live from LA. No more New York. Hallelujah. Praise him. We are free and I've had a wonderful, beautiful, sunny week in LA. New York could never. I am going to fill you in on some of my escapades so far. Then I'll talk a little pop culture at the end of this. I hope the audio is okay. I just want to apologize in advance if there's any weird audio issues. I know the schedule of when I release these podcasts, when I release the Patreons, etc., has just been all over the place. But, you know, there's just been a lot going on, settling into a new country and all of that. It has been hard for me to get back into a routine. My apartment is having a lot of issues, which is not the vibe. Like, the Wi-Fi stopped working, so I'm actually editing this at work right now. Well, not right now, but I will be in the morning and then I'll be releasing it. Yes, they won't fix it. It's like, I'm not used to having to call like a building manager to do things. I feel like that's more of a American thing, I guess. Like, stuff like actually works in Australia. So there is that. And there's a lot of noisy young people here. Like, when I came into this complex, which, by the way, I didn't choose, my work organized it, but you know, it has a pool in the middle and like, look, it looks a little crummy, but I was just pretending I was in Melrose Place. Like, yes, bitch, like, this is your Melrose Place, like, fantasy. And I guess with Melrose Place comes people in their 20s that, you know, want to hook up and party and stuff. So it's a lot of like splashing around the pool at all hours of the night and families staying in their Airbnbs with unruly children. And you guys know that I just can't deal with like weird noises and hearing things I don't want to hear and just interruptions. And yeah, the splashing's a lot. Like, I didn't think that the sound of splashing would annoy me so much, but like, hearing people like cannonball into the pool over and over, I was getting homicidal. So before we get into all of my little LA adventures over the last week, I want to clap back at the New York criticism I've received, because some people are mad about me bashing New York so much. Well, I will say more people agree with me than like, I would say the vast majority are like, yes, bitch, like, drag New York. We hate it. There's a lot of New York haters out there, but some people are upset and some people have like valid responses that I will be addressing. I did have to block some people though. Someone was like, stop with the New York hate. Like, you look foolish. And I was like, fuck off. Like, get the fuck off my page. Like, what, I'm not allowed to have an opinion about New York? So everywhere that you visit, you just have to like love and think is the best place on earth. And like, honestly, New Yorkers are so fucking insecure about it. Like, they really get pressed if you criticize New York in a really like embarrassing way. And I was talking to Shallon about it because she's from Orange County originally, and then she moved to New York at like, I don't know, out of college, and was there for a really long time, and, you know, was an editor at Star Magazine and was a girl about town, and she got her own TV show there, and she did all the things, and she has, you know, a big personality that suits New York. But she was like, yeah, like, look, it's such a fucking grind that people have to convince themselves that it's like the best place on earth and there's just nowhere else better to be, because as soon as they like accept the reality of New York, they realize that like, what the fuck am I like doing this for? Like, why am I wearing my fucking self out and catching this rat infested subway for what? So instead they go around saying it's just, it's like going to fucking Oz, like fucking Dorothy. And it's just like, shut up. So the main criticism I'm getting is, you know, you barely left the East Village. You came in February, which is a bad time of year. You didn't know the right spots to eat, et cetera, et cetera. So basically what it boils down to is, oh my God, Shark, if you lived in a penthouse overlooking Central Park and it was the springtime and you earned $10,000 a week so you could afford to go fine dining every single night instead of having to eat at Whole Foods Hot Bar like 5 days a week, you would love New York. Like, no shit. I'm sure I would love Yemen if I got put up in like the best place in Yemen and was fed the best fucking kebabs and stuff and hummus. But like, and had a chauffeur. But okay, anywhere's good if you have like the best of the best. Like, I'm not the Countess Luann. I experienced New York as a normal working professional on my salary and like going to work and like going out and having friends. So I actually think I got a pretty accurate review of what it would be like to live there. So yes, I was mostly in the East Village. I will freely admit that, but I did venture out to some other areas and like they were fine. Like they were cute. Like, you know, some places I'll be like, wow, like look at the fire escapes, you know, it was quite charming and everything. But I went all over the financial district. I went to Chinatown. I went to Hudson Yards. I went to Greenwich. Oh my God, what is that sound? Oh my God, like the pipes are like making a noise. I'm not used to living in like an old apartment. Cause like even in Sydney, like I would live in like new apartments. Anyway, this is like temporary. This is like the work accommodation, but anyway, where else did I go? Yeah, I went to Greenwich in the West Village and saw like Andy Cohen's apartment and Sarah Jessica Parker's apartment block, etc. I walked across the Brooklyn Bridge and like I went across the bridge and I was like, all right, like, okay, I'm on a bridge, like it's got a nice view. Can I go now? Like I've walked across a bridge before. I've been across the Sydney Harbour Bridge and it was fucking beautiful. Okay, like, yeah, like it's nothing blew me away. The first 3 days, yes, I was very charmed and enamored with like everything. But then after a while, it's like, okay, here's another brownstone. Here's another fire escape. Whereas in LA, every day I wake up and I am always enthralled by the palm trees and like the giant billboards and all of the like gaudy signage everywhere. Like I wake up and I look at the palm trees and I just think, oh, it's so nice to be here. And I just like love the vibe. And I look up at the sky. And then being in New York, it just started to become more and more suffocating. And it wasn't even that like there's so much hustle and bustle. It was just like stepping out and just being surrounded by buildings all the time. Like there's no nature. Like it's just dead and dry. And like people are like, oh my God, like, you need to go to Central Park. Girl, I don't want to fucking travel to the middle of the city just to like go to a park every day. Like I would like to walk out and just have like trees and stuff around me. Is that too much to ask? And like maybe a natural body of water or something. And the thing is, if I lived in New York, okay, I probably would live around the East Village because it's not that far from my work. And I'm not going to be catching that disgusting subway everywhere. So I'd want to be walking distance to work. So I would be somewhere around the East Village. And I'm sure it's more affordable because it's so fucking expensive in New York. And you get a shoebox for like $1 million a day. And I think that I was getting a realistic version of like, okay, this is what it's like to live and work here. Okay, not, you know, I'm on vacation. I have nothing to do except sightsee. Like everyone would respond as if, you know, I didn't have to go to work and like I didn't have things to do. Oh my God, why didn't you go down to the Hamptons? Montauk's beautiful at this time of year. Girl, I'm going to work and then like catching up with a friend after work. Okay. So I was like, if this is what it's like living and working here, no thanks. So obviously I bitched about the food a lot, right? And some people had, you know, things to say about that, because the best meal I had was at cafeteria and this other Spanish place that I went to, but I had two good meals in 2 weeks. And some people were like, well, there's heaps of amazing restaurants just like cafeteria. Like, you know, if you wanted to go out fine dining, it has the best fine dining ever. Like, I believe you. I'm not arguing with you that there's amazing fine dining in New York. You know, you step out and the blocks are just filled with like, you know, restaurants as far as the eye can see. It's not like LA where it's just stretches of, you know, desolate parking lots. And then there's, you know, randomly a restaurant and you go, oh, that looks kind of crummy. And then you walk in, it's like spectacular inside. Like there's food everywhere in New York, but it's like, girl, do you think I can afford to do fine dining every night of the week just to get a good meal? Like I'm not a millionaire. Like I'm not Jeff Bezos's fucking girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez or whatever. Okay. Like I'm just like a normal, like working person in their 30s. I can't be eating out at like the best of the best every fucking night. So that is why I went to the Whole Foods hot bar, because I just needed something that was like cheap and healthy. And that, by the way, was recommended to me by multiple people. So clearly other people feel the same way in that like girl, if you need to get something like healthy and affordable in New York, just like hit up that fucking hot bar. Okay. So people told me to do that. And, I'm sure there is like healthy food to find around there. It's hard to find. And that's the thing. It's like the learning curve for getting food in New York is so steep. Like, why is it that in LA, I can just walk out and just find healthy food everywhere? Because I felt like in New York, it was like, okay, either be really rich and go to a beautiful restaurant or join my 1,000-pound sisters on TLC. Like, those were the two options, okay? Because it was so hard to find anything healthy. As soon as I got to LA, bitch, I was here one day and I was just able to find healthy food everywhere. This happened both times that I came to LA, by the way, okay? So it was like so easy to just walk in somewhere and be like, wow, that's like, looks pretty clean and like simple. The second I got to Marina Del Rey, which isn't even, you know, like an amazing area, and that's where I am currently because of my work, I walked into a Gelson's. I'd never been into Gelson's before because last year I was always at Bristol Farms. And they had like pre-made food that was like really tasty. Like I got like salmon and quinoa and cauliflower and something else. I'm like, great. I can whack this in the microwave. Dinner's ready. There's healthy options. I found a tender greens. I got salmon again, salmon salad and roast potatoes. And I got a green juice, which was really nice. And I'm like, okay, this green juice, this has to be like sugary, like supermarket juice, because it just tasted too good. So I won't get the green juice again, as amazing, but they gave me like a jug of it, like because the serving size is so big. And I was like, yes, green juice, but I'm not getting that anymore. But like the salmon and potatoes and everything, it was just fucking easy. Like, was tender greens as nice as dining out at cafeteria? Of course it wasn't, but like, that's more realistic of what I would just be eating like day to day, of just being like, okay, accessible, healthy food, got it. It's not that complicated. Whereas if I have to find that in New York, like I was walking around everywhere in New York, I did not find places that looked healthy that were just like easy to get into and just obvious. And there's clearly like a higher volume of places to eat in New York than LA. But LA, I can just walk in anywhere and find healthy food. New York, it's like donuts and pizza and pasta and halal food carts and all of that shit. Like, no, I don't want a heart attack. Sorry. I do not want to be on my 1,000-pound sisters on TLC. I'm not trying to do that. So no. Some people made fun of me for dining at Sarah Beth's because I did go there twice and I had very basic avocado on toast. Here's the thing with Sarah Beth's, right? Y'all fucking recommended that to me. Many, many, many people, okay, from Real Housewives recommended it. People that live in New York, people that aren't from New York but visit there. Because when I very first got to New York, like the first or second day, right, I went out walking trying to find a decent breakfast that was healthy. And like, I couldn't find anything. I'm like stomping around. I was going all around like Union Square and places like that. And I'm like, why can't I find a healthy breakfast? So I was whinging about it and everyone was responding and they're like, no, it's so easy to get breakfast here. Like, go to Sarah Beth's. That's great. And then, you know, both times I went to Sarah Beth's, like it was fine. Like I would not say like the food was bad. Like there was nothing bad about the experience, but it also wasn't like, oh my God, that was such a great breakfast. Like it was like very basic. So that's not my fault that everyone's recommending Sarah Beth's, because someone was like, that's where tourists go. And you just go there in like your 20s. Like, you know, no one that's grown goes there. It's like, okay, fine. But I'm just saying everyone recommended it. So clearly, like, if that's like the fucking face of breakfast in New York, that's New York's fucking problem. That's not my problem. And the same thing with, Jack's wife, Frida, or Jack's friend, Frida, whatever. Everyone recommended that. Apparently, that's like a spot that everyone knows and everyone's eaten there, etc. I went there with like an influencer friend of mine and it was fine again. Yeah, it was like fine. It's like, okay, that was all right. But like, I wasn't like, that was so yum. Like, nothing exceptional. And I'm just thinking, okay, like, why am I not having meals here where I'm like very impressed? Because I go to a restaurant in LA and I'll be like, that was amazing. Like, I'm like so blown away by it. And then New York just like was not happening. So again, like, if I'm at the wrong spots, if Jack's wife, Frieda, and Sarah Beth's or whatever, are just corny and touristy, that's not on me. That's on the many fucking people that are in my DMs saying, go there, right? When people get my DMs about LA and they tell me to go somewhere, I'll go there and it's actually good. It's actually like, oh, wow, this was like, now I know why you recommended it, okay? So there is a huge difference. I didn't even have a kit, like a little kitchenette facilities in my hotel because everything in New York is so fucking small. There wasn't even like a kettle tucked away in the closet. There wasn't like a, you know, a tiny little bar fridge to just fit like, you know, 500 mils of milk or anything. There was like nothing. And both hotels that I stayed in New York had absolutely nothing. So I had to eat out every single meal, every coffee, every like cup of tea, everything. And it's not cheap. And I'm not Ramona Singer, okay? I don't live the Ramona Singer lifestyle of just going out and going to like great restaurants every night. Like, I was doing a realistic version and it sucked. And it's like, what are my two choices in New York? Either be rich or be obese. That's what the choices are. And I'm not even that cheap when it comes to food. So I'm not like Mr. Tired Ass here. Like, I waste money on food like all the time, you know, like I'm not that pressed about like prices and stuff, but you have to be realistic at some point and be like, I can't eat out at a nice restaurant every single night. I've been having the best food here in LA. So the other night, me and Kiki went out to Toca Madera, and actually I was kind of making fun of it before we went there because I feel like, you know, like on Housewives of New York when they were making fun of Catch and they were like, no one goes to Catch anymore. I thought Toca Madera was a bit like that, like, because I remember hearing about it and I thought, isn't that like very passe? And we were able to get reservations like very easily the night before, whereas some of the other like trendier places that we were trying to get into, like everything was booked out solid. So the expectations were low, and girl, the meal was like fucking amazing. I can't find one damn thing to criticize about my experience at Toca Madera. Like, we got two entrees. We both got a main each. We shared dessert. We had cocktails. Girl, everything was like a 10 out of 10. And the service was so much better than what I got in New York. Like, the girl was like lovely, like knew the menu, like attractive, like the whole nine yards. Everywhere that I go out to eat, with the exception of one place so far in LA, I went out to brunch on Sunday and it was actually trash. I was kind of like shocked because it had good reviews and I couldn't believe it. It was giving New York, okay? It was giving New York where we went, Bianca in Culver City. It may have been an off day because it does have good reviews, but that was bad. But everywhere else is awesome. Like, I randomly wandered into this tacky looking place called 26 Beach in Marina Del Rey the other day, and it's just like burgers and like steaks and, you know, nothing like fancy, and it looks like Lisa Vanderpump designed it on an acid trip like 30 years ago and they never updated it, and I kind of just went for like the kitschiness of it, and like I just got a steak there and the steak was actually like amazing. I was like, oh, I can't believe like the food here is actually like really good. Like, I'm just wandering in any fucking place here in LA and getting good food. Whereas in New York, everywhere I wanted into was horrible unless I like fucking paid an arm and a leg. And I know that New York is known for like amazing Italian food. There's so many Italians in New York. Well, bitch, I have, you know, lived in Melbourne before and that has a huge Italian and Greek population. And it's known for having really amazing food, especially Italian food. And it's also known for like having some of the best coffee in the world, according to many. So I'm just saying, the New York subway, completely unacceptable. Like, it's a no-go zone. I don't know how New Yorkers deal with it. It's like a third world country down there. It's just like so unacceptable. I think to be living in a place like New York that should be so much more advanced, have to be on that filthy, disgusting, rat-infested subway. I saw now that the governor of New York is like doing bag searches there. Like, how degrading going to like catch that stinking subway and then having your bag searched. Like, it's just horrendous. Like, I don't know how people live like that. And I was bitching about Sydney transportation all the time. And then for me to see what New Yorkers are dealing with, because I would always compare Sydney to like Japan and be like, why don't we have like Japan's public transport? This is outrageous. And then seeing what you guys are dealing with in New York, I'm like, wow, that's bad. The weather was obviously bad in February. I acknowledge that. And people like, well, just remember you came at the worst time of the year. I feel like January would be worse, but because I was there late February, but there were, yeah, you came at the worst time of the year. So what are you saying? That New York's like uninhabitable for like half of the year? Is that what you're saying? Because if a place is good, like it's going to be good. Like I don't want to live somewhere where I can only enjoy it for two seasons. Because bitch, I got off the fucking plane in LA. I got off the plane at LAX like Miley Cyrus, and honey, the sun was shining. Like, it was gorgeous. Like, people are out at the beach. Like, people are just, like, living the life here, okay? Like, the sun-drenched, like, meadows and sun-drenched homeless encampments. And then New York, it was, like, pouring. Like, the last day that I had in New York, it was, like, torrential rain. It was horrific. Like, it was just awful. Someone also said that New York is more cultured. I believe you on that. Trust me, I believe you, and like you can keep that. Like, I don't need that pretentious shit. Please have all of the cultured New York that you want. Like, I'm trying to get into the Valley premiere right now at Jax's Sports Bar in Studio City. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't need to go to the opera. I don't need to watch a fucking play. I don't need to see a hipster comedy review in like a basement in Greenpoint. I'm good, okay? I know that, like, Bad Bunny and Keisha Cole and, like, New Jeans will play in LA. That's fine. I don't need to see indie music in New York and on a fucking, like, street corner or something that has, like, a tent over it because it's too cold to, like, go outside. So you have to fucking put tents everywhere outside, like a tent city. I'm good. Like, I don't want to deal with it. LA has what I want as far as culture, which is the artists that I want to see in concert will play. And it's a movie town, so there's like a million boutique movie theaters. So, you know, I can like search what's on. I can be like, oh my God, the new Beverly, they're doing Singin' in the Rain. Like, I was checking before, they're literally playing Tarkovsky's Stalker in Santa Monica like next week. I'm like, shut up. I can go watch Stalker in a theater here with like a week's notice. I mean, it's sold out, but you know what I mean? Like, you get the point. Like, that's the stuff that I want to do. As long as I can see some good music and go see like niche movies that I want to watch, that's enough for me. Okay. I've seen some of the hipster events going on in New York lately, just through like social media and everything, and like people that I follow. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go to that. Sorry. Like, the apartments are too small, so it's like cramped and stuff. And you kind of have like spacious parties. It's pretentious arts people or like weird, mean, like rich people. Like, I don't want to like hang out with like a lobbyist. Like, I don't want that. I don't want someone that like manages the head of like GLAAD New York. Like, I don't want to be like rubbing shoulders with that kind of person. Like, there's this hipster comedy show in New York. I'm not going to name it because actually I don't think it's running anymore. So I don't want to shade them because they're like fine, like it's popular and like the guys are cute and it's successful and stuff. But like, one of the guys is hot, so I used to follow and would see what he's doing just because I thought he was attractive. And I would like look at them promoting that show and I'd be like, I don't want to go to that. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to see this. Like, I don't want to be around that. Like, at least events in LA are catered. Like, I would honestly, please, I would rather go to a catered event and be like, oh my God, there's Kristen Doty. Like, there's Angeline driving past. Like, that's more my vibe. Like, I don't want to see someone like sitting on a stool and like reading like comedic poetry. And my Australian friend who works in New York and is in the media world, he's basically does the same thing as me, but in New York. And he goes out all the time and he tells me about the people that he runs into, you know, out and about. It's like my worst nightmare. He's like, I'm friends with Barry Weiss's sister. Or like, I went on a date with this guy and he works for Pete Buttigieg. Like, I would kill myself if I had to be around people that are adjacent to like Barry Weiss and Pete Buttigieg. Are you fucking kidding me? I would rather be around some like annoying gays that work with like Jeff Lewis or whatever than like someone that's near Pete Buttigieg. Sorry. And I'm trying to rescue Dan Allegretto, the poor thing, because he has to move. Like, girl, he was depressed when I saw him. He doesn't know it. Well, maybe he does know it, but like, I could see the sadness in his eyes, and it's because of New York. Like, it's just no way to live. And you've got to be rich, or you've got to be in your Lena Dunham, like, girls era in your 20s and, you know, going out there and going to parties and, like, bar hopping and, you know, trying to make it work and, like, dating and having fun in the city. But, like, for my age bracket, like, no. Like, it's hell on earth. And I want to get Dan Allegretto out, and I feel like he's in denial because he was, like, trashing New York. But then when I trashed, he's like, it's amazing. We have seasons. It's like, girl, like, he posted this thing on his Instagram stories of, like, a beach. And I'm saying that in air quotes. Like, I've never seen a worse body of water in my life. Like, it was absolutely fucking disgusting. It kind of looked like, have you guys seen that movie Leviathan? Like, it was just so dark. Like, it looked like something from a depressing European art film. Like, it was just so bad. And, like, no wonder he's sad. Like, if he has to fucking look at that. And then I'm out here and I'm, like, looking at, like, palm trees and, like, sunshine, you know? Like, it's just such a different life here than that stinking hole. Like, I actually feel like I have a little bit of PTSD from being in New York. Like, I don't want to go back. Like, I will not go back. I refuse. Like, I don't even want to leave California, actually. Like, nah, I just can't handle it. But shout out to my listeners from New York that I like. A few of you reached out to me. Some people wanted to take me out, and I definitely would not have turned down a free meal in New York. But it was just like the timing. I couldn't do it. And I also almost ran into another listener, longtime listener at Cafeteria, actually. And that would have been really fun. So that was a shame. If I ever do come back, I will meet you guys, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't know, maybe after I get some therapy or something and I mentally prepare myself. And yeah, I come in the 1 week of the year that apparently New York is amazing. If you just come between the 7th of June to the 12th, like, you'll have a great time. Okay, like, I'll try and fit it in then, maybe, and we'll see. Now, anyway, let me tell you about this amazing day that I had out at Venice and Santa Monica. So, I was supposed to go out to Malibu on Saturday, and it fell through, and I feel like God was punishing me because I was very ready to get out there and, like, flex and be, like, a whole show-off. So, it serves me right. Like, my friend was already there, and she sent me some photos of, like, the backyard, and it looked like paradise. Like, it looked so amazing. It was, like, the most beautiful crystal blue pool that was, like, overlooking, like, all of Malibu and the beach and, like, fancy ass houses. And I was like, oh my God, how is this my life? This is before I, you know, it was canceled, obviously. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I've only been back in LA for a week and I'm already getting invited to a $30 million house in Malibu. And I was like, I'm going to take so many photos. And I was like thinking about, like, the photos that I would take there and just like how I was going to do the whole thing. And then it fell through and I'm like, you know, it serves you right, bitch. So that was cruelly yanked away from me. So I took my ass down to Venice Beach alone. I walked there, just me and my AirPods. I was going to get the bus, actually, because I'm like, you know what? You need to try and figure out this bus situation because these Ubers are, like, pretty expensive and driving's expensive here too. And I'm like, the bus might not be that bad. So if you need to make a long journey at some point, it's probably better to, like, just get on a bus. So I was going to, like, break my bus virginity, my public LA bus virginity, but I'm like, no, the weather was too good because, you know, we're not in New York, so there's actually nice weather here, so you can go outside, unlike New York. And I'm like, yeah, let me just, like, walk to Venice. So I'm walking along and, you know, it's a beautiful walk. I had just, like, so much fun just, like, looking at the palm trees and going past, like, different stores and stuff. And then I start at the beginning of, like, the pier or the strip, or I don't know what the official name for it is, But like, I get to the beginning, basically, of Venice, and immediately the vibe was everything. The vibe was vibing. Like, there were dogs everywhere, there were bustling bars, there were restaurants, there were stores, people were riding bicycles, like, everyone was having a really great time, and I was just immediately like, oh, like, I'm just so into this. It looks very Instagrammable. Just everything about it was like, it was all happening, like Sheena Shea says. My dreams did come crashing down, though, when I was harassed by a homeless woman. I was expecting homeless there because I, you know, Venice has a reputation for just homeless everywhere. And then my friend who lives in Santa Monica, she's like, no, Venice isn't that bad now because they've moved them all to Santa Monica. So I wasn't really sure, but yes, I was harassed by a homeless woman. And it was kind of like, I saw her at first, and because I was like in a good mood and the sun was shining and I was just like feeling the Venice vibes, like I kind of like smiled politely at her. Usually you just ignore the homeless, like you pretend they're not there and you just like look straight ahead and, you know, walk a little faster. But I'm like feeling the vibe, so I'm, you know, gave her like a half smile, sort of like an acknowledgement. She didn't look too like, I don't know, like she was like dirty and stuff, but she kind of looked like she sort of had her shit together. So I'm like, you know, you can acknowledge this person. And then because I dared to give them the smallest bit of acknowledgement, it was like she was like following me and then trying to like circle around me. And I just thought, fuck off. And then I just like walked really quickly and like ignored her. But it pissed me off because there's two types of homeless people, right? There are some that are sort of like, they're just not fitting into the rules of society and, you know, they want to do their own thing. They don't want to work, but they're a little bit more bohemian and they're just like, yeah, I'm just going to like live at the beach and sell my wares and like be homeless. And yeah, maybe I like have a drinking problem, but like, it's just, it's not that deep. And they kind of like, they will add a little to the area. You'd be like, oh, this, some flavor around here. This is quite interesting, isn't it? And then there's like the full on, like, no, I'm a mentally ill junkie that smells like urine. And, you know, the stench increases as the, you know, the sun hits them. And like, they need to be like locked up. Like, they need to be somewhere. Bitch, I don't care where they go. Just someone can fucking fix it. And I guess I thought she was more in the first category, but I guess she was in the second category. And then it ended up like actually like really annoying me for a few minutes because I was just thinking like back to my past week. I'm like, you know, I've had like a busy few weeks, you know, hitting the ground running with the new job. Like literally, like I touched down and then I was like straight into work and then I'm still doing the podcast. I'm doing like other stuff outside of it and trying to get to the gym and just, you know, like working hard. And this was, and I already had plans fall through. My Malibu Barbie dream house fell through for the day. So I'm making the best of a bad situation. My day off, like it's about me. It's about me unwinding and having a good time. And then I'm like almost accosted by a vagrant and I'm just like, I shouldn't have to deal with this. Like no one should. Like get them the fuck out of here. Like they shouldn't be here. So that I just was like not feeling. So I walked to the end of the fishing pier. That was really nice. Like just sunshine, people fishing, playing music. The beach was way dirtier than in Sydney. Like, you know, I'm all just in Australia in general. And that has happened a lot since I got here because I do see things and I'm like, okay, we have that in Australia, just like cleaner and it runs better and it's, you know, it's nicer, etc. But then I went into the main part of the Venice Strip and oh my God, like I was shook. I was like, what is this place? Like, where am I? It looks like a carnival by the beach and I'm very into tacky carnival aesthetics. Like I love everything about like the small town carnival look. I love like all the signage. I love the big posters of the disgusting food. Like I don't order that kind of food, but I like how it's like laid out and the prices and it'll be like an ice cream with, you know, like a hot dog stuffed in the middle that's covered in like M&Ms, you know, like just that carnival food, like visual. I like the show bags. I just like all of it. I love the whole vibe of like a carnival or like a little touring show or whatever. And It was definitely giving that by Venice. There were so many weird bohemian people. There were artists selling, you know, their art on the side of the road. There were little food stands. There was a man with a python. There was this attractive woman on stilts getting around. Somebody drove past on a buggy playing old school Prince, like old school. It was like, I think it was like, I Want to Be Your Lover, or like one of the old hits, Soft and Wet, like just one of the bangers. And I was like, yes, my God, finally some good music. So when I was in New York with Dan at Allegretto, one of the issues was we went to a bar and they played Robin, and I like Robin, but they played Robin literally like four times in like 10 minutes. Like, it was out of control. I'm like, Robin again, like over and over. And then I'm like, Dan, can we go somewhere that just has some like R&B, like just, you know, a little bit of like flavor to it, you know, something I can get down to. And apparently that just doesn't exist in New York. I don't know. I thought it would, but it seemed very difficult to find. Actually, my friend said that you can get that like out in Queens. So I guess you got to go like way out to get some, you know, get some little urban flavor with the music. But then I go to Venice Beach and people are playing like old school Prince, and I'm like, yes, like this is what I'm after. And then I was thinking, this is what like you just don't get in Australia and Sydney, and this is kind of the difference, because it's like, objectively, is Australia like way nicer and cleaner? And is it like much nicer to like sit on a beach in Australia than like an LA beach? Like, for sure, clearly. But they don't have, there's no edge. Like, Sydney's Bondi, and I lived there for a while. It's very Life Uncut podcast, okay? If you're not Australian, you won't get that. But if you're Australian, you know exactly what I mean. It's very Life Uncut podcast. It's very She Sells Seashells by the Seashore. It's like Candles, but there's just no diversity, no edge. It's clean and boring. It's a little bit like Chris Allen versus Adam Lambert, American Idol. So obviously Australia is Chris Allen, and we like Chris Allen, and Chris Allen's like a cute guy, and there's like nothing wrong with him, but like, he's not Adam Lambert, you know? And Adam Lambert, even back on Idol, like, think back to Adam Lambert before he had his glow up. Like, he was like fat and pasty, and he was wearing like the worst makeup, but he just like had that thing going for him, while Chris Allen was very conventionally attractive and like clean cut, and, you know, played the guitar and all of that, but, and he did win, but it's like Adam Lambert became the star, and that's like very much the difference. I also saw some like black socialist group doing somersaults over white people, and I don't know, they were trying to like stop banning abortion or whatever. At first when I saw them, I was like, this is why we need Republicans in California, like get them out of here. But then like I stopped to watch, and then when they were like doing somersaults over people, I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of into this, like, yeah, I can get down with this. I'm not against people, you know, doing circus tricks on the street. So then I like supported them. I went past Muscle Beach with all the hotties working out, so that was fun. And I just had like such a good day. And then I was so glad that I didn't go to Malibu, because actually going to Malibu would have just been like going to Sydney, where it's like, okay, this is like really beautiful, but like I've seen this before. And I was also like, I could probably live in Venice. I like the vibe for sure. I mean, maybe it's too much of a party town for me. It was very lively. I would need to like suss out if there's a few quieter places to go, because I just don't want to be drinking. I don't want to be drinking like beer and stuff every, like beer and hamburgers every night to have a social life there. So we need to suss that out. But I did like the vibe overall. So then I got a ride to Santa Monica, to the Santa Monica Pier, and I ended up at some Christian revival, like right on the pier, on the beach, and I was not expecting it, and I thought it was a rock concert, but I think it was more like a mixture of music and preaching. I mean, I don't go to these things, so I don't really know how they work, but when I was walking over, like, it sounded like they were playing a song. There was something about, like, Jesus coming back, but, like, they sounded pretty good. I'm like, oh, my God, like, who's this band? Like, the musicians, like, they were really good, like, the guitars and the drums and, like, the vocals. Like, everything was, like, serving. I'm like, these people, like, they know what they're doing. So I went over there, and like everyone had like Jesus flags, And that was crazy to me because you would never see that in Australia. Like, if you went somewhere in Australia, like just randomly, you know, in like any of the big cities, and you're like, oh, let me go down to like St. Kilda in Melbourne. And then suddenly there was like a huge group of people wrapped in flags that are like, Jesus is coming. Jesus loves you. Like, denounce sin. You'd like call the police. Like, it'd be like scary. It would be a very like alarming thing. But here, I don't know. It was just like a pretty good vibe. Like, and none of the flags were like scary or political, to be honest. Like, it wasn't like Westboro Baptist Church flags where they're like, you're going to burn in hell. Like, literally it was more just like, praise Jesus kind of stuff. And there were not that many white people there either, which I thought was funny because, you know, I always see the crazy evangelicals as being like white MAGA, but most of these people were like black and Latino and like Asian. I mean, maybe that's why they were nice, because they weren't white. Maybe if I went to the white Christian march, then it would have been like fire and brimstone. I don't know, but everyone like had a pretty good vibe. Like, they were really just there to like worship Jesus. And the preacher was pretty good. Like, I got bored after a while, so I left. But he was saying, like, they say California's lost, but it's not. Jesus is alive, and everyone who left California over the pandemic is going to come back because they'll see what we're doing. And I was like, whoa, and like cheering and stuff. It's like, yes, Jesus. And he also said that, like, it was very apolitical because he was like, you know, Republicans and Democrats, like, they can't fix your problem. Only Jesus can. I was like, whoa. And he was saying that, like, Donald Trump didn't die on the cross, Jesus did. And I wore my hair out because I just thought it was more biblical. I'm like, yes, like, let me pull the man bun out and have the hair out, because that's more of like a Jesus vibe, and just have the hair blowing in like the Santa Monica breeze. So, you know, I hung out there for a while and was like listening. I was kind of like waiting for them to play another song, but then it was just like more preaching and more about how like it was going to like rain, or I don't know, something about like the Jesus makes it rain. I don't know. I'm not sure what the rain does, like it washes our sins away or something. But I was like, okay, like I just wanted them to start like playing some music after a while. So I left, but I was into that. And then I went to the little like carnival thing. So on the pier, they have like, yeah, like a carnival. So they have like rides and, you know, popcorn and all of the tacky stuff that, you know, I'm totally into. And they have a roller coaster. So I went on that. It's not that scary of a roller coaster. I mean, if you're someone that's into like really scary rides, it's like child's play. I guess if you've like never been on a roller coaster before, maybe you'd think it was scary. But I kind of just was like, you know, I'm here, let me just like go on the roller coaster. And it was up high, so I'd be able to get a view of the beach and stuff. So I went on the roller coaster by myself, and this fucking little girl behind me would not shut the fuck up, like just screaming, like so high pitched. And it actually like ruined the ride for me. And she was being extra. It's like, bitch, you are not this scared. Like, it wasn't scary enough to warrant that screaming, even for a little girl, because there were these two other little girls in front of me, and they were Asian. And I think one of them was maybe like 10. So I think she was like the bigger sister, and the other one was like 5. And honestly, they had the best style. Like, I was kind of not following them, but like after they got off, like, because I was just naturally walking behind them where the exit is, I was kind of like looking at their outfits. I was like, oh my God, like, why are they dressed like this fly for being like this young? Like, they look like little like Kamora Lee Simmons daughters or something. So they were like very cool, and like they were not screaming and like being ridiculous. And the little girl, like the one that was like 5 or whatever, she was able to like stay composed. And then the little brat behind me screaming and like shrieking, and just, I feel like that child is spoiled. I feel like that child's used to screaming and carrying on and like getting their own way. And I feel like the little Asian girls, they're more just like, you know, they're good at studying and they're just more about their style, and like they just like have it going on. Like, you can tell that they have like really good lives. And then like I saw their mom come to get them, and their mom seems like really cool and like fun. I'm like, such a good family. And then compared to the little girl behind me, I'm just like, nah. So that was sort of annoying. And then I went back to Marina, got a steak, came home, and it was just like such a good day. And I was like, wow, like so spontaneous, you know, all my plans got canceled. I just went out and just started walking and I had all these like fun little adventures. And I did a lot of walking around New York and I didn't run into any fun little adventures. It was like, oh, here's another block that looks like the same block that I just fucking walked past. Okay. Or then I'll get into a different area of New York and be like, oh, that's cute. Like these big buildings. Wow. These buildings are big. Like I've never seen buildings this big before. And then it's like, okay, now what else is going on? Like, so just, you know, so much better here. And then I went for brunch on Sunday with Dan in Culver City and I tried to get some photos, but I looked really bad. So I kind of overdressed for it. And really it was Sunday brunch. So I should have just worn like literally like the most casual clothes, but because I was excited to go out and hadn't seen him for ages. And I spent ages trying to pick the brunch spot. Like I was going through like Resy for honestly like hours and like reading all the reviews and stuff. So I was like very excited to go out. So then like I thought I looked cute and I looked in the mirror before I left. I'm like, okay, this like looks good. And like when I filmed on Instagram, people were like, oh my God, you look so good. But then Dan took some photos of me and then I only looked at the photos for like 2 seconds because I'm like, I couldn't even look at them. I looked, just everything was bad. Like my chin that I want to get fixed was fucked. I looked fat. I looked misshapen. It just, there's not, I can't find one damn thing to like about those photos. And I was like, oh, this just happens every time. It's why you need like a personal photographer to photograph all your outfits so you can really make sure, because you'll see how you really look if someone takes a photo, because the mirror is lying to you, girl. And I think I'm actually going to cut off my man bun. And I've had like, people always give me different feedback on it. A lot of people actually tell me to keep it. I mean, the people that dragged me for it, like Dan Allegretto, like they're like the haters are like vocal, but I have a lot of support for it. And I just like, it's just too hard to style. That's the thing, because first of all, when you tie it in a man bun, it's not just like, oh, I just like throw like a fucking scrunchie or whatever, like a hair tie. And then it's done. Like, you kind of have to do it in a certain way or you end up looking like a turnip. And, like, the first year that I had it, like, I wasn't tying it properly. And then when I saw it at the back, it was, like, full turnip vibes, like a cartoon turnip. And I was like, oh, my God. Because, you don't see it from the back because you're only seeing from the front. So you are looking from the front and not thinking about the back. Like, you really need to look at, like, all angles of it. So I'm a bit better at tying it now, although, like, it can take, like, a while. And I just don't like to... Like, part of the reason that I grew my hair out was, like, oh, I can just, like, tie it up and I don't have to do anything because I don't even want to wear jeans. I don't like wearing shoes. Like, that's why I need to be in a warm climate because I just want to wear as, like, little clothes as possible. Like, I find everything, like, very restrictive. So, the fact that I have to sit in the mirror for ages trying to, like, tie it correctly is annoying. And then when I take it out, it doesn't always look good when it's out, but then when it does look good when it's out, it looks really good. It's like, okay, bitch, like you slayed this. That's when I'm like, okay, thank God you kept your hair like this. Your hair looks amazing. And sometimes I get some like really good photos in it, but it's just very hard to keep it looking good. Cause as soon as the wind blows it or it moves in the wrong direction or something, then it's like completely ruined. And then I just end up like obsessing over it if I have it out and like touching it all the time and like stressing like, okay, does it still look good or is it like bad now? And it's just, it's too much. So I don't know. I'm either going to just like chop it all off or I'm going to chop like half of it off. I'm actually going to the hairdresser tomorrow in my lunch break. I haven't told my boss yet. I'll probably have to stay back late at work. So maybe I'll just like tell them to like cut it off. Okay, the Oscars. I did not watch the Oscars. So, you know the John Cena thing, everyone's seen that where he came out like naked? There's this conspiracy that it was a satanic humiliation ritual from like the Illuminati. And I'm seeing a lot of this going around now. People were getting pictures of Kid Cudi from a few years ago wearing a dress on the red carpet and saying that he was being forced to humiliate himself. I mean, I do believe that that actually exists for sure. Like, I think there is douchebag celebrities at like very high levels that probably do things like that, where they have like blackmail on you and then they make you go out and like do something publicly to humiliate yourself or make yourself like look like a fool. I feel like that happens. I don't think that was the case in John Cena. Like, where was the humiliation? Everyone loved it. Like, no one was against it. I mean, I saw some fucking losers on Twitter being like, children watch the Oscars, why are they seeing a naked man? It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, the stunt worked. Everyone was into it. Everyone thought he was hot. I actually personally didn't. Like, he didn't do it for me. I actually thought he was older than his actual age. And the Caucasian beefcake, it's not my style of guy. So, you know, there wasn't anything about it that was appealing to me personally, but good for him. He seems like a really nice person, and I do support anyone that was a pro wrestler and then moves into acting. Like, I'm all about it, so good for him. There was a lot of drama around Emma Stone beating Lily Gladstone for Best Actress. A lot of this boiled down to Emma being white and Lily being Native American. Look, they were both deserving, and I haven't seen Poor Things yet, but you know, I've seen clips of it. I want to watch it. I like the director. Obviously, I just watched Emma Stone in The Curse, which was, you know, top five best shows I've seen in years and years. And her performance was just like incredible. She's an amazing actress. So everything that I've seen from Poor Things, she looks great. And I have no doubt that it was a stellar performance. And I did see Flowers of the Killer Moon, and Lily Gladstone was amazing. And I was very moved by her performance after I walked out of the theater, and I kind of, you know, ruminated on it for a long time, and it like stayed with me. So I thought she was amazing. And people are being very annoying with their Lily pity party, though. But the irony of Emma winning over a Native American after her role in The Curse, which was just like white people gentrifying a Native American neighborhood, is like perfect. Like, it's so fucking funny. I think Emma probably felt kind of guilty and awkward about winning, like fresh from coming off of The Curse. She was probably like, oh my God, like, seriously, I can't believe this. Like, I bet she was like face palming herself like backstage, but they both absolutely deserved it. So either one of them winning would be completely fine. You know, I don't think Lily Gladstone was robbed. Like, Emma Stone gave a more theatrical performance from what I've seen from, you know, the role. The thing about Flowers of the Killer Moon and Lily's performance is it's a very, very subtle performance, and that's what makes it so good, but it's very restrained. It's not your usual, like, over-the-top, like, Oscar stuff. Like, a lot of the acting roles that win for Oscars are, like, fucking like melodrama, or you've got to do the Charlize Theron, let me make myself really ugly. And especially a film like Flowers of the Killer Moon, which is actually a more conventional Oscars film in the sense that it's kind of a social justice story, and the Oscars love that. So it's, you know, mean white people that are poisoning these poor Native Americans. And that's the sort of film that they usually like to award. It's a very like kind of narrow type of movie that they give awards to. And I'm not surprised that Oppenheimer won as well, because that sort of falls into the category of like stuff that they like. So, well, it was a surprise that Lily didn't win it, but I think it's quite exciting that Emma won for Poor Things, just because it is like much more left field, because it is more of an art house film than Flowers of the Killer Moon is, for sure. And the character and everything that I know about it. And I was sort of thinking, like, are the normies going to freak out over Poor Things now? Because this happens sometimes where something like something artsy will somehow make it into the mainstream and get a lot of attention for some reason. And then all the normies are like, oh, well, I like Emma Stone. I liked Spider-Man and La La Land. Like, let me watch this. And then they like freak out and they get confused and angry. And, well, why is there nudity? Like, this is weird. I didn't get it. Like, this should have never won. You know, they get so furious, like with The Idol and with Blonde and all of these other films. And now, having Poor Things win, I'm like, is that what's going to happen? Are people going to be like going in flocks to see this because it got so much publicity from her winning, and then just like leave the theater like freaked out? I don't know. Kind of hope so. I actually think that like I think both of those movies, Flowers of the Killer Moon as well, might turn off some mainstream audiences because it is very fucking long. Like, it's very slow. I mean, it's 3.5 hours. It moves at a glacial pace. I watched it under the perfect circumstances, which was gold class in Australia, which is like, that's the expensive thing where they like serve you food throughout the movie and you are sitting in like a big recliner. And we went on a Sunday night when it was quiet, so I could just really relax, have food and drinks served to me. You're in a movie theater, so you're not going to be on your phone, so you're not like tempted to, you know, when if a movie's, you know, going on for that long, like you might be tempted to have that low attention span kick in and reach for your phone, but you know, people have manners and they're not going to touch their phone in gold class. So I felt like I watched it under the perfect way to watch it, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I did think Lily was incredible, but, you know, shout out to Emma Stone, shout out to Lily, like, good for both of them. Also, I have an update since I started recording this because I had to leave halfway through recording, and it's been a day since I started this podcast. And at the start of the podcast, I said that I was trying to get into the Valley premiere. Well, good news, I have been approved. I am going to the Valley premiere. It's at Jax's, what is it? His sports bar, whatever. I don't know what it is. Jax's venue. That's where it is. So I will be there. I'm a little bit nervous because I have to do the red carpet. I've never done a red carpet before. And I usually try to avoid those things because I don't like it because, you know, you're waiting in line and just trying to ask people questions and you're kind of put on the spot and I'm just like, it's something I always like don't want to do. But this, I felt like it'll be fine. It's like literally reality stars. They're all going to be excited to be there. This isn't the Oscars. Okay, I don't have to ask Lily Gladstone a question. I don't have to ask her how she felt losing the Oscar to a white woman. Like, I can just be like, tell me about the season. And yeah, and I know some of the Vanderpump people. Well, I've interviewed them before. So Kristen knows who I am, or at least she did. She'll remember me, I'm sure, because we used to follow each other on social media years ago and DM sometimes. And then I interviewed her and we had a big chat when she came to Australia. And I've interviewed Sheena in person and she remembered me. And who else? I met Stassi. She wouldn't remember me, I don't think, because that was way too long ago. And Stassi's like not in this world anymore. I feel like I've interviewed other ones. I mean, I interviewed James Kennedy the other week. I don't think he's going to be there because when I did interview him on Zoom, I kind of asked him about the Valley and he seemed like shady towards it. So I think he's like fallen out with them. I just put two and two together that no wonder he wasn't excited for it because of all the stuff Kristen's been saying. So yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I think it'll be fine. I feel like, look, I've got to put myself out there. I'm in LA. Like, you can't be saying no to things. And this will be a good first red carpet to do in case I do end up having to do more of them. So it's like, okay, I can like ease myself in just at Jax's bar. Like, it's not going to be that intimidating. And I do hope that I don't have to interview like the new cast members because I don't know who they are. Like, I haven't seen the show. I don't know anything about them. I don't know what to ask them. I'm not good at making conversations. So girl, I don't know what to say. I just want to get the red carpet over with and like get a few lines so I can do a story and then get in the bar and mingle. I'm hoping Heather McDonald will be there. It feels like something that she would go to. So let's hope that Heather McDonald shows up. Some other people that I know are going to be there, which I won't tell you who they are just yet, but I will recap the night on Patreon. So I'll probably drop that like this weekend. I did a Patreon last week, I think with, what did I talk about? I don't know what I talked about. I think I talked about some work stuff and a few Bravo things, you know, bits and pieces. That's patreon.com/unpopularjp. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening and I will see you all next week. Bye.